Welcome to Classics for Kids. I'm Naomi Lewin. In 1891, the most famous composer in the world conducted his music at the opening of a new concert hall in New York City. The composer was Pyotr Ilyich Tchaikovsky, and the hall was Carnegie Hall. Originally, it was known as the Music Hall, but since Andrew Carnegie, the millionaire who gave money to build so many libraries, paid for this place too, people started calling it Carnegie's Hall. Gino Francesconi is Carnegie Hall's archivist, in charge of keeping track of its history. Gino says when Carnegie Hall was finished, the people who built it wanted a really big name for the grand opening. Tchaikovsky was at the top of everyone's list, so they invited him.
And the most amazing thing was that he said yes. There were 18 newspapers in New York City at that time, and they were all filled with the news, Tchaikovsky's coming, the boat is here, get your tickets.
While Tchaikovsky was in this country, he traveled, and he got inspiration for his ballet, The Nutcracker. Gino says Tchaikovsky sent a postcard to his brother saying,
"Dear Modest, I'm here waiting to change trains at Utica, New York, to get up to Niagara Falls, and Sugar Plum has just started dancing in my head."
According to Gino, it's impossible to list all the famous people who've performed at Carnegie Hall.
I usually tell people that it's easier to give you a list of the people who haven't been at Carnegie Hall. We've had over 8,000 premieres here since day one.
Like An American in Paris by George Gershwin. Even though so many compositions were first performed at Carnegie Hall, no one saved important pieces of the hall's history until Gino became the archivist in 1986. So there's another aspect to his job.
I'm sort of also like a detective, and I have to find programs and photographs and things that have gone missing.
One of the programs Gino was happiest to find was from the first performance of Antonin Dvorak's Ninth Symphony. The composer was there.
He was sitting in box 3, and I remember seeing a letter of his that said, "I think I'm going to call this piece From the New World."
Another great find was an autograph book that sat backstage for years. Gino says it's amazing to read all the signatures.
On one page, you'll see Sergei Prokofiev because he conducted his classical symphony there. And on the same page, you'll see John Philip Sousa.
And there's Leonard Bernstein, who became famous overnight by stepping in to conduct a live radio broadcast from Carnegie Hall when the scheduled conductor got sick. At the end of the program, Bernstein got a 10-minute standing ovation.
When that piece was over, the audience exploded and it sounded like the Lion House at the zoo.
It's not just classical musicians who play Carnegie Hall. Folk legends Pete Seeger and Bob Dylan, pop stars Judy Garland, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, jazz giant Duke Ellington. One of the greatest concerts was in 1938 when clarinetist Benny Goodman filled Carnegie Hall with swing music.
One day I got a call from Benny Goodman's family, and they said that they would love to give us a clarinet of his. I think that was probably one of my most exciting moments here.
And Gino even managed to track down the source of an old joke about Carnegie Hall.
famous violinist by the name of Misha Elman, came to the hall to do a rehearsal for a concert, and he wasn't very happy with the rehearsal. And he went out the backstage door, kind of grumbling to himself. And two tourists came up to him, seeing his violin case, saying, "Excuse me, can you tell us how to get to Carnegie Hall?" And without looking up, he just said, "Practice," and just kept going.
To find out how another famous violinist, Isaac Stern, saved Carnegie Hall, and to hear more stories from archivist Gino Francesconi, go to our website, classicsforkids.com. I'm Naomi Lewin. I write Classics for Kids and produce it at WGUC Cincinnati with Tim Lanter and Bruce Ellis. Please join me again for more Classics for Kids.